close. We have Miss. Do we have Melanie and Gareth here?
I'm here.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello, Melanie. How are you?
Good. Gareth, how's it going?
Nice to talk to you. Thanks for giving me a call on this matter. I reached out to Lionel earlier in the day, and I knew it was quite late, so I wasn't sure if we'd hear back.
Sure, not a problem.
If it's okay, I'll just... I've got a couple of questions lined up.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure, okay. Could you just begin to by explaining to us what Supernova is and what your role within the organisation is?
Well, I'll go first, and I created Supernova, and that began as Comic Fest back in 2000. Then I rebranded to 2002 Supernova. So, it's been my event since day dot, and happily sharing it and expanding it with the team as we come along.
Okay.
I'm the event manager of Supernova. I started as a volunteer in 2003 at Supernova's first show in Brisbane, and okay. I was brought along to assist a little bit further in 2006, and have been part of the crew or staff since then.
Okay. Now, there's been some controversy the past 2 days surrounding Supernova. Would you mind explaining to me what it is from your perspective?
My perspective, I guess, because it originated with me, I posted in my own personal Facebook page some concerns about a program, and they were meant to be a call to action from a personal perspective, because I was, as I've explained online as well, I had some hesitation about elements of the program, which Safe Schools is part of.
Okay.
And because of that, I shared it online with my friends. Someone from within my friends, I guess, screen captured and shared it. And and basically, it's gone from there. I did explain that when I shared the post and the link for the petition, that I didn't realise the image that was accompanying the share, or the words at the bottom that identified the specific gender of transgender as part of that, call to action in the way that it did, because that wasn't my intent. But unfortunately, because it was shared beyond my personal Facebook, someone took issue with that, and obviously it's taken off a life of its own since then.
And a significant part of that is the misinterpretation that Daniel's personal post on the subject represented the greatest Supernova event, which it doesn't. I mean, that's a personal opinion, and... everyone's entitled to have it, and certainly to question the way that certain programs will affect his concerns or anyone's concerns in the community.
Okay, when I reached out earlier, I did explain a bit about my article, and I have stated in the article that it was taken from a personal Facebook page, so we have highlighted that there is a privacy breach here. Daniel, would you like to explain what your views are on the transgender issues?
Look, as far as me on a personal level, all I can say is that my values as a person, as a Christian, as someone is to just love everyone and accept them for who they are. I might disagree on certain elements of... and we all do, about the way forward for society.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to individuals and to loving people and accepting them for who they are, that's number one with a bullet. I was bullied as a young man myself for being a wog and being fat and being all sorts of other things. And the last thing I would ever want to do is not be kind, respectful and embracing of anyone based on any element of their personal characteristics or features or personality.
Okay, and just coming back to the Safe Schools, you said in your public statement on Facebook, on the Supernova page, that there were some aspects of the program that you were questioning. What are your concerns with the Safe School?
There was three elements that basically were concerning the fact that some of the program elements were being introduced to children as young as five, so basically at kindergarten level, and that was being done without parental consent, and basically that was number two, the without the parental consent, and then because when I was a kid, my parents had the choice of being sex-ed or not, and they basically said no until I got to high school. But sure. By the time you get to high school, you know, that's, you know, it's
too late.
It's not too late. It's just that's when the education system says, if your parents haven't been active in your life to explain things to you so far, then we, as society, it's our duty of care then by that stage to take over. But up until that stage, parents, being, in my opinion, I guess, the people that care most for their children, you know, most of the time, or good parents do anyway, they're the ones that would be looking out for the child and trying to cater to its needs foremost in the community versus any third party.
Well, if you're interested in my personal opinion, I do oppose what Daniel's personal feelings are on the subject regarding the program, the age appropriateness and the material itself. I certainly think that high school is much too late to bring these kind of issues to light. I wish that I'd had a program like Safe Schools available to me when I was at school, being bullied for, you know, queer inclinations and things like that. So certainly, you know, Daniel and I respect each other and each other's opinions, and they don't need to align.
I would add to that, Melanie, as well, that if the parents decide to allow their children to be part of that program, again, I have no issues with that. Once they get into the latter parts of infant school, when they get into years 5 and 6, you know, I think it's important to at least give the parents the choice to do it. And if parents want to do that, that's fine. And I believe that a lot of parents, without having their heads in the sand, if they notice these things about their children, would be themselves introducing these things to the children in a timely fashion. Not all parents, and I guess that's why teachers are there as well in programs, but at least give parents the opportunity to have the first to communicate it and frame it to their children when they think it's necessary first.
Okay. And I wanted to ask if you are aware of some of the changes made to Safe School in March that did relate to parental consent and age restrictions and the removal of some aspects of the program.
I am, but the problem is, of course, that Victoria has refused to acknowledge them and that they're not sure that it's been reviewed. And I think during this time at this review level, it's a good opportunity, if there's any time, to say, hey, look, there's elements of this that, look, still have concerns with. Now's the time to raise them. And that's what I was doing on a personal level.
Okay, but that's your personal Facebook. It's not the position of Supernova.
No, I mean, look, Supernova's for everyone. I mean, when I started the event, it was all about comic books. So we realised very early on in 2000, when I started, it was Comic Fest. By 2002, we'd introduced anime, we'd introduced gaming, we'd introduced science fiction and fantasy, and I knew even the title itself, Comic Fest, wasn't enough to embrace it, which is why we went to Supernova, because we wanted to include all genres. It's about all imaginary worlds. It's about, you know, where we can all just find a place in there to basically escape into, which is supposed to move away from the issues of our personal lives and just enjoy great imaginary storylines. And so Supernova, by its very nature, has been exactly that down through the years. And, you know, we've been very inclusive to say, look, if you are part of these genres, if you like to cosplay, if you like to immerse yourself in these worlds for like a few days a year, depending on where you are in Australia, then here we are.
Okay. Now, do you feel there is a link between the geek, what I call the geek community, and the queer community?
Yes, I certainly believe that there is a very strong link. The geek community in and of itself over the past 20 years in particular has suffered a lot of derision from those that were traditionally bullied for their love of sort of alternative culture, as it was called back then. Even the media sort of jumped on board with that, but thankfully we have seen a great a broader acceptance, both on a commercial level when you look at the blockbuster films, right through to things like tabletop gaming and anime and things like that. And certainly those people that might have felt ostracized or isolated as children, as many in the queer community have felt through the years, sort of an added isolation, I guess, through their love of geek culture, also found themselves attracted to demographics or genres such as science fiction because they were more positively represented in those fantasy worlds. And, the culture that developed through geekdom over the last 20 years in particular, that being my own personal experience of it, means that there's an inclusiveness that's almost ready to go, I guess, because you're entering a group, a social group or demographic, I guess you could call it, that has already felt the hurt and the pain that you get through, being ostracized. So I feel that the queer community in particular felt a safety net in geek culture that they probably might not find in sport or more academic pursuits. So certainly the recognition that the queer demographic is more closely aligned, I guess, with pop culture than most people might realise.
And I would add to that as well that I think as someone who is bullied and immersed themselves in these things, even though I wasn't queer, pop culture and escaping to these worlds and embracing it is something that unifies all aspects of community, which is why it's been so well absorbed and why we've been so loved and the events have grown so massively, because it crosses all boundaries as far as, orientation.
Of course. Do you feel that Supernova has a responsibility to accommodate the queer community and gay culture into the convention?
Yes. Yeah, I do, actually. I do feel that we have a responsibility to properly represent every single person that comes to our shows, both fairly, justly, and with representation. We have queer icons as our guests, and we have media that is focused on the issues that are faced by the queer community, and we are proud to represent those, and we're proud to add those to our programming and to have everyone love and kind of accept that the media's out there, and hopefully Jack Sparrow, John Barrowman's character, Jack Harkness, popular iconic figure not only in the actor world but also on television. What do you call it? Like an omnisexual?
Yes, he identified kind of omnisexual.
Yeah. So having like a character like that and celebrating him and having him with us was just amazing, to kind of go, this is okay, this is fabulous, this is accepted, this is something that, we want to share with the world and celebrate.
And all this stuff, I mean, as the event director and the person who chooses the guests and everything like that, I mean, the fans have been informing the decisions I've been making, and I've been making them for the fans to accommodate what they've embraced and what they love. I mean, my personal, ideas or philosophies or religion or that don't play a role in as much as what we do for the fans, because the fans determine what's been going on. And a big part of what we've been doing is that we've been being this inclusive nature without having to beat our chests about it. We've just done it, which is why everybody has loved Supernova so much. We've just been getting on with the job of putting on great conventions all these years. But for whatever reason, and what's happened has happened, and suddenly that's been called into question, which is disappointing, because we really have put our hearts and souls into creating this event as a group of people from a ragtag team of people from different parts of life, but all have just a love for popular culture that we want to bring and share to everybody else.
Well, to follow on from that, we've received a statement today from a group called the, let's have a look, the Queer Geeks of Oz. I won't share with you the whole statement now, as it's quite long, but we will be including it in our article with this interview. They've made...
Okay.
Sorry?
Okay. Yeah,
no,
go ahead.
Yep. The Queer Geeks of Oz make the claim in the statement that although they have appeared in panels at Oz Comic Con, Armageddon, and PAX Australia, Supernova has not responded to their invitations to participate at your convention. Could you comment on that?
Gee, we reject a lot of people, and not just because, and nothing to do with orientation. It's just we have our own programming, and if they're appearing, and what it sounds like for a lot of events that are based on our competition, we want to make sure that we're also, you know, doing stuff that we do for ourselves. Plus, as I've been saying, as we've been saying, our whole program has been based, and ethos has been about doing it without having to beat our chests. It's we want everybody to feel safe and good at the convention. So, you know, we haven't promoted any particular thing or gender, I should say. We promote pop culture. We promote anime. We promote science fiction. We promote
and we certainly don't reject on content either. I'm the Paul Sackers. Plug in the programming, and trust me, if we had an extra 3 days or so, I would adore to have you know, panelists like Queer Geeks of Oz, and I've been to their panels before at other expos, and love what they do. I had an amazing time, so you know, it really does just come down to being able to give the fans enough time with the say with the guests or our comic artists or our literary authors, the time that they deserve on stage. And unfortunately, the byproduct of that is that we just are really tight on programming and restrictions in our venue sizes, and the venues that we've, you know, the spaces that are there really do mean it comes down to an economy of space and time. There is no rejection of any sort of proposal that's put forward from that aspect at all.
Okay. Do you see, in the light of recent concerns and off the back of some concerns that have happened in the past, do you see Supernova making more effort to include groups like these in the program?
It's a loaded question, because the thing is, we have been including these people. We just when you say these people, I mean, it sort of even comes wrong out of my mouth, because it's to say that somehow, you know, there's a difference there which is in that we're all pop culture lovers. So when we're doing our programming, if something comes up that's available and right, we'll use it. But we, again, we've already been doing it. You know, we've never stopped doing it. So to say that to do more, it sounds wrong to us, in because it actually means that we haven't been doing enough. And I'd challenge that.
Sure. What do you mean by
also, I just want to point out that we do have a lot of literature panels and comic panels that focus on women issues, women representation. There's a really great one called Stop Using That Trope, which is about tropes about women and gender and sexuality used in popular culture. It's always one that I really love to drop by and sort of stick my head in as much as I can when I'm running the rest of the show. So like Daniel said, like, these things already exist. We just don't kind of chuck a big rainbow flag on them. And look, like I said, from my personal perspective and being in touch with programming, I would love for us to be able to be at a stage where we could open up programming to like public requests. Unfortunately, we're just not at that point right now, because all of our internal panels and all of our current contributors and our guests, of which we have so many fantastic people from all genres of literature and art and film and television and you know, all of these different areas, we simply don't have the capacity to open it up to take, you know, requests from you know, external people who want to do a panel. If, like I said, if we manage to find the time in the programming, I would love to be able to be the one to sit there and kind of go, look, I'd really like to give you a panel. Let's do it here.
May I ask, Gareth, Geeks of Oz, is that just got the traditional way that you would do it? Geeks of Oz, O-Z at the end?
Queer Geeks of Oz.
Queer Geeks. Queer Geeks of Oz, yeah. It's got a really great Facebook page, actually.
Okay, so let me just, because I'm just here having a look at my actually, I've just done a search for my whole database of all the emails that I've got, you know, in my, you know, because I never delete an email. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing from, let me just make sure that I've got the, got it all right.
Okay, I don't speak on behalf of Quigg.
It might have gone through to publicity. Daniel, that's fine.
Yeah, but usually, you know, I mean, between the two of us, we're the ones fielding all the panel requests, so I don't actually have an email from them.
I'm not speaking for them, I'm just, you go with that statement.
I guess my concern is that if they're saying that they've got an issue with us never having had them at the show, the way that most things happen for us is that people, we either invite, and when I say invite, when I invite international guests, sponsors, different people to do, so that there's, I'm talking at usually an international level, and then Miss is operating at, you know, and making all that paneling work and whatever other comes through organically through our system. So we get so many requests that we don't go out there asking for local content either. So if they haven't actually come to us directly and said, we want to do a panel, I mean, we're so busy just looking after what we're already doing that we may not even know that they wanted to do a panel.
Look, in terms of to your original question, Gareth, would we look to do more panels on that kind of, you know, channel or contributors or content? Absolutely. And as Daniel announced in his statement on the public server page, we will be introducing panels, and that will be a panel that goes forward. And I think that's going to be a really great opportunity to ask contributors, not just from one group, from many groups and many different opinions and kind of a diversity, which is, you know, is the panel's called Diversity Now, and I think that is immensely relevant to both this issue and what it is that we want to do going forward. And as Daniel said, we've had this ethos for so long, but we don't flag wave it, I guess. If you
the same with our code of conduct, Melanie, if you want to talk about that, because, you know, we got challenged about our code of conduct last year, and we'd had one for years and years and years, but, you know, but because we don't beat our chest about it, it was as if it was missing, but when it was,
people said we didn't have one, and it was like, well, here it is, and it's been this way for some time. And so, you know, and we've learned some lessons about being more open about our philosophy and our code of conduct and the legislative requirements that we have as well. Like we've gone out there and gone, okay, the audience has spoken, saying that what we say and what we have as fact and as a procedure evidently is not obvious enough. Let's make it obvious. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because people have been bringing up the whole cosplayer's consent thing. Oh, sorry, cosplayer's opposite. Now, we had a big discussion about this, and we decided to go the route of the state super campaign because to us it's more than just cosplayers. Consent applies to every single person at our show.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Trust me, this is something I'm so passionate about. Like, I could rave for hours about this particular campaign because it is not just about the cosplayers. We are everybody, we represent everybody, and cosplayers not consent to me does not say enough about the expected behaviour of our fans towards other fans and exhibitors and guests and staff and volunteers. You know, this is so important to us, I couldn't even tell you.
Absolutely.
And so we did a campaign last year, and oh my gosh, the support that we got from our community and from other exhibitors. We had $10,000 worth of product and prizes donated to us in order to give people a reason to be engaged with this program that we had developed. And you know, it's so people were kind of crying that, you know, crying out that, you know, we weren't being vocal enough. And we rewarded them with these amazing, amazing, you know, prizes and products in order to get the word out there that we care for every single person that is there. And that's so important to us. And with the diversity, you know, sort of the panel idea that you're talking about, again, we've been doing it for so long that we haven't wanted to go and brand it as such. We just want to say we want people to choose the content that they go and see, and we do have diverse content, and we are talking about the issues of the day. And if the response from the public is you're not doing enough. Well, good gosh darn, do you think that we're not going to be looking at different ways, like the Stay Super campaign, that we need to go, okay, you know what, we are going to get a loud speaker, and we are going to say, this is a panel for you. This is a panel that will discuss the things that mean something to you, because you, the fan, mean something to us. And that's what we do want to do. And but it does come down to, let us be inclusive. You know, I don't necessarily want someone from the outside to say, I want to do a panel. I want Supernova to create a panel, and Supernova to invite people from all different communities and all different organisations to come together and talk about these issues. So rather than it being one voice, it's many voices, all the voices. That's what I'm definitely hoping to see going forward. And we will have it for Sydney, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And just on that safety and that safe space mentality, we've been, Headspace is something that we ourselves since Perth last year, and we brought them on board to begin the process of creating a space and a location in each Supernova where people are feeling a little bit overwhelmed and they can't cope, that they've got somewhere professional to go to that can refer them. We make sure that we've got equipped rooms, sorry, I'm losing my voice here, equipped rooms to quiet rooms so that they can chill out as well. I mean, these are all things that we've been doing so that we can take care of our fans.
Actually, Gareth, this is, if you can just note this down, it's headspace.org.au.
I'm pretty familiar with Headspace in Perth. I know that is
fantastic.
I know they are a very good organisation.
Yeah, so we're national sponsors of them. So they'll be with us at every show offering information, a safe space on the trade floor, a chill-out space, just somewhere fun to sort of chill out and you know, maybe get the help they might need. Now, obviously, additionally, we do have other avenues if people are feeling that, they're not at their best, but at the same time, to us, Supernova is a safe space. That's certainly something, you know, if there needs to be a safe space, then, you know, within a bigger context, then to me that sadly says that if you need a safe space within a convention, then that means the rest of the convention is not safe. And that's not something that I agree with, and that's not something that we're achieving.
It really goes to the heart of you know, that because we've tried so hard to look after everybody that comes through our doors, no matter who they are, and we haven't grown to be the size that we are. We basically have very close to 200,000 people a year coming through our doors over 6 events because we don't look after people. It's because we do, and it's because they love us, because, you know, we treat them right, we treat them respectfully, we give them what they want as well in pop culture, you know, and that's why every single community, every single person that's walked through those doors just has embraced the convention so much. So it really pains us to hear that it seems that we're not, because we have been, and the fact that my personal comments that, you know, could be damaging the reputation of the event in such a way, I mean, it's destroying me, because it's you know, we've fought so hard to make it such a great event for everyone, and I don't know what else I can say more on that. It's just it's a bit devastating.
It is, Gareth, and I just want to touch on what Daniel said there. It is literally heartbreaking to read the things that are out there, because we strive so hard to make this an inclusive space, and I don't know if you may have picked up, I am part of the queer community. And the trans community as well. So it pains me that people are saying these things about us when it absolutely isn't true, and it's hard for us to go publicly, I guess, and separate the rightful personal opinions of one person and see that transgressed to cover an event which is absolutely not accurate. And one thing that we uphold is integrity above all else, and to have people publicly say to us personally, it's not just Daniel, this is to all of us, that we are transphobic or homophobic or what have you, you know, that really burnt from a personal level. And I can't ask people to turn back time or turn back what they've said, but just understand that Supernova is more than one person. Supernova is the 250 volunteers per show that we have as part of our family. It's the staff, it is the guests, it is every exhibitor that's there. When they say these things about Supernova, which are completely inaccurate, they're talking to all of us. And that's a hard pill to swallow.
Oh, I was going to ask if you had any closing statements, as I want to give equal time to both sides, but it kind of feels like you've made your position very clear. Was there anything else you wanted to include?
Well, actually, I want to say thank you for reaching out and getting both sides of the story and wanting, and I read your email, and you want to, you know, take those sides in this, and that you want to truly represent both sides of this, and I really appreciate being asked to come along and be a part of this today. So that's my closing statement. Just thank you.
Well, I feel I try to put myself in everybody's shoes. I have my own opinions about safe schools and transgender acceptance, and they didn't align with what I had seen come out of the Facebook image and everything. But I did feel it was important, if we're discussing equality, that we do let everybody have a say in this.
And that's very honourable.
We appreciate that. Look, at the end of the day, even if I disagree with some elements of policy and stuff like that, as you can hear from Melanie, the team around me is represented by every, you know, letter in that, just about in that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't even say this straight, so long.
We are all of that.
You know, and
we've been with Daniel, and Daniel has been nothing but the most amazing person to work for, and absolutely tolerant and accepting and loving. And I seriously cannot say more good things about him in regards to that. And, you know, I definitely represent some of that spectrum, and, you know, I just want to thank him for that.
Yeah, and it's the getting emotional here.
Sorry, sorry, Gareth, you're just listening to us go on about it.
No, it's okay.
It's that love and enthusiasm, because
sorry, Daniel, I'm so sorry.
I invested 10 years of my life where I didn't even earn a dime out of this, so that I could just get it to the point that I could fulfill my promise to the 17 people that I now full-time or part-time employ, so that, because they helped me off their bat so early on, where I basically just was able to pay for an airfare and accommodation here and there, so they could support me in building this dream that we've had.
Of course.
And then, and my dream was that I would then become their employer, because I would be able to give them jobs in this industry, because they were so passionate about it and the belief in me.
Yep.
That my words accidentally put out there in a way that misrepresented who I am and who they are. It breaks my heart. I've apologized. What more can I do? I don't know.
You have people like us to help you do what you need to do, Daniel. And Gareth, people like Gareth are going to help us do this.
No, I understand what it's like.
I just want a faithful representation of what we are. That's all I want, you know. That's all I care about, a truthful representation of what's heard. Because, you know, it just saddens me so much, because we really are there for the fans. I mean, I'm so passionate about pop culture and just making it for everyone. And if I've been... You know, that's all it's ever been. That's all it's ever been. You know, and that I, as a private citizen, can no longer seem to have a voice where I can intelligently and rationally and reasonably present an opinion that is contrary to someone else's without being accused of being some sort of foe, it just doesn't seem right. Because, I mean, isn't that what the community has been fighting for the recognition of the voice that they have? And now it just seems to, for whatever reason, it just, it's, it's,
I don't know. I just it doesn't feel right what's happening. You know, it just doesn't feel right. And especially my staff and the people around me, it's not right for them because they don't deserve this just because I clumsily put forward a share of something that I feel deeply about and enough so that I could put my name to it. But just because I did that, I don't feel should tarnish everyone, nor even myself as being some sort of hater. You know, and that's my closing statement because I could keep going on, but I won't.
Yeah.